team win in a sweep or in a dramatic game seven?
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Dramatic game seven. Let's take one of your teams, Ben. It can't be football because they only play one game. Who's your favorite hockey team?
The Preds.
The Preds, right? Ben loves the Preds. Best thing about watching the Preds play is what? Watching the Preds play.
No, you're wrong.
You know
wrong.
What I mean?
You're wrong.
With a seventh game, you get seven games. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather watch seven hockey games than just four.
Airing every day from
noon to three.
You have done this to yourself. All I have to do is kick away the chair, my friend. The most famous Predator series of the last 5 years when they swept the Chicago Blackhawks. And now Chicago cannot argue with Nashville ever because all they have to say is, hey, brooms.
Brooms. Sure, they beat the brooms. Blackhawks, but you remember what happened.
Hey, Chicago, you trying to talk trash to me? You got swept. Brooms.
On 1340 WKGN.
Sweeping the team makes such a statement of, hey, we're better than you. When it's a sweep, you leave no doubt. Nothing.
Drama.
There is nothing worse than losing a playoff game. And you've
game
given
seven
me that pain.
Is massive.
And you've given me that pain three times.
But
no
game
space.
Seven becomes so massive.
Brooms out, bitch.
Just watch.
Sweep. Sweep. Hour two kicking off here in the Fan Run Studios. Let's hit some hour two headlines. Cam, anything good out there?
Yeah. We kind of had a rumor about it earlier this week, but now it is official. Tennessee has gotten a commitment from former Clemson and West Virginia running back Lynjay Dixon, and he is expected to join the team soon. You know, obviously big when we've kind of talked about how the running back room was a little thin to an extent. Good to get another body in there, especially in this kind of offense. Always like to have the fresh bodies.
It also seems like Tennessee is just kind of loading up on some, you know, big playmakers. Like,
yeah.
Between, well, just more ranting and raving, not even really ranting, just more raving about Squirrel White.
Mm-hmm.
You get Lynjay Dixon, who has some home run speed. Some big play ability.
Absolutely.
Tennessee is going to, you know, try to just get guys who can be big-time playmakers that are out there, you know, one cut, gone, touchdown, can change a game or score a touchdown anywhere from, you know, from any point on the field, any point in the game. This guy has a lot of speed, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, just adding another playmaker, another weapon in this offense doesn't hurt at all. And, yeah, with the fast pace of this offense, you're always cycling people in. So having all you guys being a threat to be a home run hitter is pretty nice luxury to have. Could be a good addition for the Vols and definitely, you know, helps as far as running back depth. And hopefully he's with the team soon. They say he should be soon.
Yeah, I would imagine he'll be if he wasn't at practice today, I'd imagine he'll be there tomorrow. Like he'll be in the rotation and – hell, the running back room is so thin right now. He'll be a big factor, I think.
Yeah, he'll be out there pretty consistently.
Wouldn't be
think.
Surprised if, you know, game one he gets double-digit touches.
Yeah, I could see it for sure.
You know, game one obviously going to be one where you think there's some garbage time, but I would anticipate him playing against Pittsburgh too. Like, I think he'll just be a – I just don't think he's transferring here unless he's pretty much guaranteed at least, like – third in the rotation. I wouldn't be surprised if he was your second guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. The guy obviously has talent from his
Yeah, I mean, you go to Clemson, you obviously have talent. You just kind of got lost on that in that room. Dabo at times had talked about how he needed to grow up. So, you know, there just apparently, you know, wasn't a very good relationship there. But, I mean, he was explosive his first 2 years. Freshman year at Clemson all the way back in 2018. Would that have been Kelly Bryant year? Or no? Would Trevor have been starting by then?
You said
2018. I guess that'd have been.
No, I think Trevor would.
Trevor would have been there, right?
That'd is that the like, year that Trevor took over halfway through?
That's what I was trying to decide if that was his first year or second year. I was guessing second year, then 19 would have been his junior or his. 19 would have been his sophomore year, and he got drafted. And, so I guess he'd have been a freshman in 18, yeah. So 62 rushes, 547 yards, 5 touchdowns. That's 8.8 yards a touch.
Not too shabby.
The next year, 104 carries, 635 yards, 6 touchdowns at 6.1 yards a touch. those two seasons. At a 65-yard touchdown or a 65-yard run, a 32-yard run is his two longs. Can do a little bit in the passing game as well. I mean, I think this guy's going to be a big factor. I think it's at a position of need because right now, like, is it too far to say that running back might be our weakest position on the whole team? Or at least our biggest question mark of the whole team?
I would still go second.
Yeah, I would say secondary.
Not the secondary, but the corners specifically, because I do feel okay about our safeties. But I feel I trust Jabari Small more than I trust any singular corner on our team.
Okay.
I feel very comfortable with Jabari Small as your back.
I just have questions about anybody else on the team, like and anybody staying healthy, because I think running back, you need more than one body, obviously, in this offense.
Yeah. I mean, I have questions about every single corner, though.
Okay.
And I only have questions about Jabari, I don't have questions about Jabari, just the others.
Okay. I do think it's a lot easier to just have a running back step in and fill in a role than
putting a cornerback, especially
at the level receivers we'll see.
I thought when we got down to our third string back last year, after Tyon Evans got hurt, I just thought there was a huge drop off health wise. And we talked about the short yardage stuff. It just seems.
I still don't think. So we got down to our third string back when Jalen Wright, but we also got down to some of our later corners too, and our later corners were getting toasted by Purdue third string wide receivers. Our later on into the depth running backs were still getting 3 yards a carry.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Tennessee's defense when you start talking about the corners. At least you got a couple of transfers there that might be able to help you
better than it was last year.
Yeah.
It's not going to take any growth, but it doesn't necessarily have to, as long as the schedule lightens up and the offense gets a little bit better.
Yeah, hopefully we can do enough back there, and a couple of the transfers will come through and play. It's kind of a sad fact that we haven't gotten to it yet, but we lost another legend yesterday as Ben Scully died. The GOAT. Ultimately beloved, 94 years old, probably had the highest sports approval rating of anyone living. Like we might have lost the two guys that had the highest sport approval rating.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
Bill Russell, losing him earlier this week. You talk about what kind of man he was. Everyone just praised his on-the-court, off-the-court stuff and what he did for the civil rights movement and equality.
Absolutely.
His level as a champion, as being, the greatest. They call him the greatest American sports champion of all time. Highest approval rating when it comes to that. And then, of course, Vin Scully, just, the golden voice, best stories. No one ever had anything bad to say about him.
Even Giants fans probably don't hate Vin Scully.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, I think everyone loves him. I think we lost our two most beloved, universally beloved. Because even, when you just look at greatness, Michael Jordan has detractors. People are saying, he's a jerk.
He doesn't pay on bets.
Mm-hmm. So, it's not just greatness, it's both. You have to be great and just, not really rub people the wrong way ever. Anyways, any more headlines?
Yeah. Can't believe you didn't bring this up from SummerSlam. Ronda Rousey attacked an official. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. Ronda Rousey is now suspended.
Yeah, she's indefinitely suspended after that. Yeah.
I think that's just a way to get her a little bit of a break. But she did turn heel.
Yeah,
she
fined an undisclosed amount and will be suspended.
Yeah, the undisclosed amount is zero. She didn't get fined anything in real money. But yep, she lost, although she really won at SummerSlam and didn't get the ref didn't properly call it. So then she snapped and beat him up. I guess assuming maybe broke his arm. I don't know. She put him in an arm bar.
Yeah.
So she's in trouble.
Well, speaking of other fighters that get in trouble, Conor McGregor has a movie role.
As what?
He doesn't have his exact role yet, but he's not playing himself. He's playing an original character in Jake Gyllenhaal's remake of Roadhouse. So they're remaking that movie, which is about a UFC guy that starts bouncing out of a bar or something like that. But yeah, they're remaking that movie, and Conor McGregor is making his first appearance in the movies and film by, just having a undisclosed role in this movie. Jake Gyllenhaal will star as the main character. We don't currently know McGregor's role, but we know it's not going to be himself, and it goes in production this month, so.
Surprised he hasn't actually crossed over more with that. Surprised it's taken this long for him to get, like, any type of role.
Honestly, it seems like it would be a pretty easy thing for him to do. He could obviously play that jerk character probably really well in almost any sort of action movie. So
he'll be a good bad guy. All right, send us to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, more ranting and raving about the Vols. Squirrel White still stealing people's hearts at practice. Haven't really seen too much else. There are a couple freshmen getting mentioned for standing out. Herring has gotten some pretty good praise. Could help the defense there. How are you boys feeling? We're getting close. 29 days away.
Jeez.
That's it. And today's basically over, so really 28 days as far as I'm concerned.
It's only four touchdowns away, John.
Ooh. Yeah, but four, like, Jeremy Pruitt touchdowns. That'll take 4 weeks to get. When you only score one touchdown a week, it takes
four weeks. Maybe even, like, four Wake Forest, Virginia Tech overtime touchdowns.
Oh, like not the new Wake Forest, but the old.
The one where the classic picture of Beamer celebrating as they go to overtime 0-0.
When you told me Wake Forest touchdowns, I was thinking the claw fence, but you mean the Beamer holding his arms up touchdown. Gotcha. Vols linebacker coach Brian Jean-Mary says that Juwan Mitchell has been a model of consistency, and he's probably as healthy as he's been in a long time. Has been really good the first 3 days. As the second coach I've seen kind of single him out. You know, you had Heupel talk about Juwan Mitchell. Now the linebackers coach is talking about Juwan Mitchell. When you see this, do you buy it? Is it maybe some, like, trying to get some positive reinforcement to try to, like, because if there is a player that probably should have his confidence a little shaken in year one, it was probably Juwan Mitchell, right? I mean, he wasn't very good when he was on the field, and then he was hurting out the rest of the year, and, like, it didn't look like he was ever going to be back, and now here he is getting some praise for some coaches. Do you buy it? Is it maybe hopeful thinking? Is it positive reinforcement?
I think it's a little both. He's probably showing some flashes, so they're like, hey, we need to really encourage this guy, show that we're like, hey, we see you working, we see you're making progress, and you still have a chance to be a big factor for this defense. So I think it's kind of a little bit of that for sure. I think they're also just not doing that completely unmerited. Like, if he's out there struggling, I don't think they're going to go out of their way to be trying to hype him up and praising what he's out there doing. So, yeah, I think it's just a little bit of both there.
Make you feel any better about the defense, Charlie? Seeing Juwan Mitchell get praised the first, basically twice in the first 4 days?
It is interesting to think about with Juwan Mitchell because kind of been written off a little bit, at least among our fan base. Obviously not within our football program, but I mean, he was the guy that I think generated the most buzz out of maybe anyone on the defense going into the season last year, and part of that's obviously because he was an addition rather than a holdover, but still, he was a guy people were pretty pumped about, and he had the numbers, to go with it at Texas. He had the production. He showed that he can compete at a high level and generate a lot of tackles, so to get him back this year and to hear that praise for him, it does make me feel a little bit better because that is one of my second biggest question with this defense other than the cornerback position is there going to be someone that you can trust to play, a consistent level to be a consistent linebacker? It's even, be an above average linebacker opposite Jeremy Banks, and still a question mark to me if Juwan Mitchell can do that or not, but to hear some praise in conjunction with the fact that he had produced in the past gives me some more hope.
It's just kind of funny. We're Talked about being worried about the corners. Now we're worried about the linebackers. There ain't too many other positions there that yeah. leaves us to feel good about.
I feel
on defense.
Good about the defensive line, and I feel good about the safeties.
Okay.
So
you would say you feel good about both.
I feel good about two out of the four position groups.
So not worried. You feel good. Like you actively feel good about both those positions.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to achieve great things, but I feel good in the sense that. I feel like I know what they are, and I feel like they're going to give you good enough production that you could have an average defense.
Cam, how would you say above average defense about Tennessee's defensive line and safeties?
Confident, yeah.
Not worried about, because I think those are two different things. Like, I'm confident they'll perform, or I'm not worried about their performance. It's more like, hey, they'll be at least average.
Yeah, I think I'm closer to not worried than I am confident. I need to see a lot of these guys out there on the field, I guess, is probably the big thing. Just because, I don't know. I don't feel great about the defense, per se.
Well, I think it'd be hard to feel great about the defense. I'm not asking you to tell me you feel great about that, but I'm glad that Charlie's saying he has confidence in both of those positions, because I do think, both of those positions exceeded expectations last year.
Yeah.
Now, the expectations were literally the floor for the defensive line. We didn't think we didn't know what we were going to get on there. We didn't have any real talent that we were confident in. And
I think they exceeded.
We did know that we had an elite coach there coaching them, and they performed. Yeah. And the safeties, I'm going to be honest, I don't really remember much about what they did last year.
They were solid. They were good for us for sure.
I know the linebackers and the safeties were getting abused by Pittsburgh, but Kenny Pickett is a little bit different than anybody else that was on our schedule. That
mm-hmm.
at least when it came to
when you saw him at that point in the year too.
Yeah, at that point in the year, like late in the season. Purdue, I feel like we had a lot of busted coverages against Purdue.
We also had just some interesting rotations in that game with our secondary without Alante. I think Slaughter and Burrell both in that game kept getting stingers.
Mm-hmm.
That kept acting up. We had some guys playing in that game. We had one guy specifically playing in that game. I had to Google.
One anonymous SEC coach, when talking about Tennessee's defense, said overall the Tennessee defense is average at best for that division, but that's a luxury that Josh Heupel's system offers because it can hide them a little bit.
Yeah, that's kind of my take for the most part about it.
Score enough points, you don't have to have a great defense. Yeah, you just got to find a way to get one or two stops.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to be able to just kind of hang in there a little bit.
I think that's fair against lower-level opponents.
Yeah.
Just get one or two stops. That's literally all Tennessee did against Kentucky. Kentucky, where would you consider them? I guess middle-tier opponents? To beat a middle-tier opponent, though, you had to play basically a perfect offensive game and just get one or two stops. That seems like you're playing with fire there.
Oh, it is, and that's half of what the system brings to an extent, because it is tough to get just an elite defense or great defense
for
how much you're going to put them out on the field. And that's why you're going to still obviously struggle like the Alabamas and Georgias. That's why you can hang with them early, because you can, they can make their adjustments, start slowing your offense down a little bit, but you can't necessarily fully stop them.
Agree or disagree with the statement that Tennessee can play basically the same amount of defense that they did last year and win 10 games? Charlie, do you agree or disagree with that?
I agree.
And if you do disagree, then how much better do you think it needs to be, I guess?
I honestly would agree that you can play the same level of defense that you were playing at the beginning of the season and win 10 games. I think the defense fell off naturally just because of a lack of depth and there was wear and tear throughout the season. But if you get the level of defense that you were playing for a stretch in the season, your best stretch of the season, or even just your average stretch of the season, then yeah, you can win 10 games, because you're not going to need a great defense to beat Kentucky or Florida or LSU. And I think that those are the three games that are most in your way of getting to 10 wins. You can have the nation's best offense, and you're not going to beat Georgia or Alabama, I don't think, without having a better defense. But
I would say a much, much better defense.
Yeah, a significantly better defense. But if you're just talking about beating this year's LSU and this year's Florida and this year's Kentucky and the other, you know, seven teams that you expect to beat this year as well. Those games aren't going to be won with defense. Those games are going to be won scoring enough points.
What do you think about the comparison that, like, this offense is like a baseball team? You can even say, like, maybe the balls that just hits a bunch of home runs. Like, it's kind of like what we were last year. And if we had to play some small ball, we kind of struggle with it at times. We had to play a lot of small ball against Ole Miss, and we couldn't do it in the fourth quarter, right? Like, we couldn't string together a couple hit and runs or get on base mm-hmm. and move runners over and score. Like, that would be what I'm saying the fourth quarter was, whenever you needed to pick up a couple first downs and score a touchdown and, like, take the lead in that game. It was either like, hey, we're scoring in a minute and a half, or we're not scoring and we're going to kind of get bogged down and we're going to put the defense back on the field. Because it kind of feels to me that that's what we were last year. Either we got a very quick rhythm going and got the ball moving very quickly and scored, or else we kind of bogged down. I can't think of very many drives outside the Bowling Green game where we, you know, sustained a 3 or 4 minute drive and you know, scored points.
I mean, I think there were definitely drives that you ran 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 plays and scored, but those still are happening, you know, in 3 minutes. Like, those are still just quick drives. So it did. I mean, I agree that it felt like there were more. Either we're scoring quick or not scoring at all.
We had 12 play draws for touchdowns. Like, do you remember that for sure? Or are you just saying that? Because I'm not questioning you. I'm just, that would surprise me if we had many of those. I can't recall any where it felt like we had the ball longer than like 6 plays or 7 plays. Like, I would be shocked if we
had scoring drives in the sense of a ending in a touchdown or a field goal.
I mean, or a field goal. Like, basically, since you got Joe Milton off the field, like, maybe we did. Again, I'm not saying you're wrong. That just would surprise me from what I watched. Now, I do know we ran a couple of drives.
I would also just say that you're more likely to remember the series that stand out that had the explosive touchdowns, because those are more memorable plays.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, but I also just felt like that's kind of the vibe I had on our offense all of last year, is like, either we're scoring really quickly.
There was too much of that. I think in that Ole Miss game, you just kept getting yourselves behind the chains. Like, you weren't good enough on first down to sustain drives.
Sure.
Whether it was penalties or, you know, just a run that you really didn't break through with, you know, for whatever reason. But
I'm just looking, like, I just went to the Ole Miss game, for example, because that's the one we keep talking about. Here are Tennessee's first half possessions. 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 plays and a touchdown, 3 and out, 6 plays, 12 yards, punt, 8 plays, 35 yards, punt, 6 plays, 62 yards, 53 seconds, field goal, 10 and a half.
Okay, so
we did go on an 8-play touchdown drive to start that to start the second half, a 9-play, 41-yard drive, field goal, a 9-play touchdown. So I guess we were better in the second half a little bit. Respectively, those times of possession would have been 2 minutes and 18 seconds, 2 minutes and 5 seconds, 3 minutes and 14 seconds. 10 plays, 19 yards, and a punt. Oh, my God, what a drive that was in the fourth quarter. 10 plays, 19 yards.
Wasn't it two big holding penalties that set you behind twice, and then you had the big gain to get, like, back to get the first down, but then you had, like, another third and long, and you got a big gain?
It was after the interception, and the place is ready to go crazy. You had scored a touchdown. You're down 5. You get the interception. Place is going crazy. First and 10, run for 2 yards. Hendon Hooker, run for 3 yards. Hendon Hooker scrambles another 10 yards, first down.
Let's go.
Here's what I'm talking about with the lack of running back depth, Cam. Marcus Pierce Jr. running for 1 yard.
Yeah.
Passes Sed Tillman for 10 yards. Marcus Pierce Jr. run 2 yards and a first down. There we go. And then, yeah, you had a holding penalty knock you back to basically midfield. First and 19, you run for 3 yards. Second and 16, maybe the worst call of the season. Jabari Small run for 1 yard. And then, yeah, the incomplete pass to Jacob Warren there on 3rd and 17. So, would really like to know what was going through Heupel's mind there when he ran the ball on 2nd and 16 from midfield. But either way, those are kind of your Ole Miss drives. So, you did have a couple which Ole Miss is the game that stands out to me, Troy, because it did seem like every time you tried to go fast and you were trying to hit the big plays, they would obviously go down and cramp. So, like, Tennessee was forced to maybe take more of the 5 and 6 yard plays because they couldn't get in that blinding speed and getting that rhythm going.
Yeah, I mean, anytime they again, like you said, they had you where they got to the line of scrimmage quickly and looked like they had an advantageous look. Ole Miss fell down.
Right.
And, again, that was the game that I think the offensive line kind of set you back with some of the penalties that they had that put you behind the chains too. But, like Missouri game, for example, looking at the drive chart there, you know, that's a game, obviously, you scored 62 points. I think we remember for how explosive the offense looked. That's probably the most explosive the offense looked all season. Five plays, 57 yards, 115 yards touchdown.
115 yards?
A minute 15.
Oh, so I was going to say, how the hell did we get 115 yards? How many penalties did we get?
Pardon me. Five plays, 57 yards, a minute 15. Touchdown. Next drive. Seven plays, 75 yards, a minute 52. Touchdown. One play, 92 yards, 12 seconds, touchdown. One play, 1 yard, touchdown, 5 seconds. And then five plays, 73 yards, a minute and a half, touchdown. And then here's your longest drive, or your second longest scoring drive. 10 plays, 86 yards, 3 minutes and 18 seconds. You also had another field goal drive.
You did get 10 plays. You got 3 minutes.
That was 11 plays, 65 yards, 3 minutes, 15 seconds. And a 10-play, 75-yard drive for a touchdown, that was 4 minutes. So that was also kind of what I was getting at. Even when you're having 10-play, 11-play drives, like, it's still just fast.
Right.
The most we had, the longest one was 4 minutes.
Well, no, but I do like looking back and at least seeing we had a couple of double-digit play drive, you know, scoring drives.
And some of those in the second half, too, when you'd like to see that a little bit more when you have a lead.
Yeah.
You can
do
that.
I'm not going to judge anything in that second half because, you know, we were trying not to embarrass them. Like, I mean, it was.
That's true, too.
That's when you were getting just guys work.
The following week, yeah. South Carolina, your first drive of the game, 14 plays, 66 yards, 4.5 minutes, touchdown.
Okay. That's a good one.
But then you follow it up. I mean, you do have the 3-play, 57-yard touchdown. 35 seconds. And the following drive after that, 5 plays, 80 yards, a minute 18, touchdown.
So we did show that we could do that, again, against, you know, Missouri and South Carolina, who are lower
right.
tier.
Yeah, you ended the half, too, 11 plays, 2-minute drive, 64-yard touchdown.
Okay. Maybe it's not fair to look, but, I mean, we did go to a 10-play drive to score an opening touchdown against Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good.
Nice scripted drive.
Was that... That was your only touchdown, really, that mattered in that game, right? I mean, I know the last one was one that I think made the game go over the total if you were betting on that. But you did get a 9-play drive with Joe Milton scored a touchdown. So your opening touchdown against Georgia was 10 plays, and obviously that's the toughest defense you faced. And you did show, at least in the first quarter, which that's another wrinkle to this discussion, is that Tennessee, we know how good they were in the first quarter, right? Like, you have a full script of plays, so. It doesn't really surprise me that against Georgia you're able to kind of hit everything perfectly.
Yeah.
That's something I would really hope that Tennessee is better on this upcoming year is, you know, second quarter offense. First quarter we were awesome.
Yeah.
Back and watch any first quarter. We looked like one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, the second quarter. We were so bad in second quarters last year. It was unreal. It was like you just were a completely different team in the second quarter.
It's like we were just pushing a car without an engine down a hill, hoping that the momentum would be enough to get it back up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we knew that we didn't have enough depth and whatever else to sustain a full game. But hey, that first quarter we can hit you as hard as we can and hope it's enough.
Pretty much.
Hopefully the second quarter goes a little better. All right, so I feel a little bit better about the offense, maybe being able to slap some singles. Conor McGregor starring in the new Roadhouse. Is that the movie?
Yeah.
What you told me?
Is that still just on your brain?
Well, it just popped back up. Jake Gyllenhaal is like, is he playing the new Patrick Swayze? So I guess he's Patrick Swayze.
The main guy.
Roadhouse.
Yeah. I mean, who knows who... We don't know who McGregor's
playing. I mean, McGregor's probably playing the main villain. Well, actually, he's probably just one of the – he's probably like the bodyguard at the bar. Are you familiar with the – or not at the bar, but like the – well, I mean, I guess in Roadhouse some of the bad guys like worked at the actual bar, right?
Yeah.
At first, and then
– I don't think I know anything about Roadhouse other than the Family Guy portrayal where Peter just goes, Roadhouse, and then just kicks people.
Yeah, I know my uncle loved that movie, which was the only like non-Western movie that he actually watched, I think. I know it wasn't very good. I might make some people mad. Did Patrick Swayze was cool in it, though.
Did he actually do a lot of...
It's like one of those that's like...
Did he do a lot of kicking?
Yeah, yeah. No, Patrick Swayze was kicking the hell out of people in that movie. Yeah. Which I can't really imagine Jake Gyllenhaal kicking people like that. Like, he looks much more like the villain in that movie, but...
He doesn't look like he has, you know, a body built for kicks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I just don't think he has the hip flexibility necessary for this role.
Yeah. That's fair. We'll see what he does. So McGregor's in that. Okay. All right. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. So what's this question, Cam? And where did you find this at?
Just one of my friends asked me this yesterday in like one of our group chats. They're like, if the states were to just have an all-out kind of war going on, who do you think would win? States that end in A versus states with just everything else. And I think there's 21 states that end in A.
So that means, Charlie, how many don't end in A?
29.
There you go. Nice.
I was like, okay, numbers advantage.
I added 4 to 25.
Good.
That's how I got there.
My early take is I'm on the side of the states with the A's I think would win.
You're on the side of the states with A's.
I think they would win.
All right. Explain your rationale there.
So you basically have like almost the entire southeastern corner is just the teams with the end in A. So you're not really going to do much down there. I feel like they're going to be pushing back against all the other states. You also basically bleed all the way up through, like, Pennsylvania. All
right, so we're just starting. So we're not starting, like, in an equal spot. We're not, like, getting headquartered or anything. Like, the war just breaks out now, and we have to find a way how we're going to get to each other.
I think that's kind of how we were, like, kind of planning it or talking it out. I just think the way that the states with A's are kind of located on a map, that they have a lot of strategic ways that they can kind of take advantage of some of these other states. And that's my biggest thing.
My question, and I don't know the answer here.
Mm-hmm.
Do we take water into account here?
I mean, you could use, I'm assuming like if it's a war, you can use your boats and stuff to go do whatever. And
does that help anything? Does that help either of these countries when it comes to water sources and rivers and things of that nature?
I mean, I do think there's more states on the, it'd probably be close actually. States that end in A that have coastline.
Yeah, the coastline, I don't know if that's a good, I don't know if the coastline's going to help you.
The coastline looks pretty evenly dispersed.
Especially if you're all there together. Well, I'm not going to say it's evenly dispersed, just because like the whole southeast and then like all of California.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say... I was thinking Alaska.
Like Louisiana and Alabama are down there too, like in Florida. It's like they got a lot of the Gulf of Mexico, and I don't know what kind of Navy Texas would have.
Yeah.
But, all right, so you're getting basically the southeast minus what, Mississippi?
Mississippi,
Texas,
Tennessee,
and Tennessee,
Kentucky,
and throw Arkansas. Kentucky in there.
Yeah,
Arkansas. Oh, yeah, and Arkansas. So your strength is what? Getting the crazy people from West Virginia?
Yeah, I mean, you got the Florida man on your side.
I think that's a detriment.
I think you could just drop him in a country and he's or a state and he just
but he doesn't know
wild
what side
out.
He's on.
I think it does depend on
has
how
a wild card. You don't know what you're gonna do.
It depends on how you utilize him. I think.
You got to target his crazy somehow.
You got to go drop them in like a four-state range where there are no A states.
Yeah, just let them go to work.
Just put them in the middle with some alligators.
Are there any states that we look at as particularly like decorated? Because, I mean, I know we do in Tennessee. We think like, hey, we held our own volunteers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like we've swung some wars.
Yeah.
We think of Texas as obviously being like really, they have their own militia. You know, they got enough guns there. They're ready to go.
Yep.
Are there any other states? Like, I mean, I think West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I think of them just kind of being some crazy badasses.
I would think of Appalachia.
Yeah.
And Texas as the two
Carolinas,
powerhouses.
The Carolinas in there.
Yeah, that to me would be the.
Do we think of North Carolina as that? They even reached. I mean, they reached the Appalachians, right? I mean, Boone's over there.
I think they have like their just own like little the, stretch know. Too, though.
I mean, Virginia, maybe. I don't know.
The majority of North Carolina is not, but I guess like when you really get towards.
Because I'm throwing out California, they're not going to do anything.
They're going to draft.
We have to get all the people out of Oakland.
They're going to draft some Bills.
I guess you can say it. I can't I say
it. I'm glad to I'm recruiting.
You can say you're going to get people from Compton.
Yeah,
they're not going to want to fight your war, Cam. They might be like, you know what? We're not fighting for you. We're not fighting your cause.
That's fair. That's fair.
They could.
We got. What about mountains though? Like the
I guess like
what
the
mountains am I thinking?
The Rockies.
Of? Yeah, the Rockies is what I was thinking. Thank you. Like Colorado, Wyoming, and New Mexico. Like we get to kind of hole up in the Rockies there. No.
Yeah, that would be tough. That would be tough to deal with, especially because Texas.
Wait, we have Appalachia too, though.
Well, that's what I'm. Well, but. That's kind of dual-sided because, again...
Yeah, well, I guess we have Kentucky and Tennessee, and they have, like, Virginia, West Virginia.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, that's just... You'd kind of fight over that. But I feel like the Rockies are actually kind of right there, just, you know, you think of mostly, like, Colorado, Utah, Wyoming, Idaho. So not a lot of A's there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of those states have low populations, too. Yeah.
So. Well, we're not looking for population. Which population, I mean, what? California's got is California the most populated state? But I think with New York and Texas, like we're gonna win that on population.
Yeah, but I don't really imagine
like
New
what the California.
I don't think New York
is.
Contributes much.
More than California.
I don't think either of them contribute.
You ever seen
much.
The Sopranos? I mean, I know that there's a lot of New Jersey, but there's New York too. The mobsters of New York are gonna contribute more than like whatever's going on in California.
I believe I believe in New Jersey. I have a lot of faith in New Jersey, but
well, it also ends in a non-A.
So we do get New Jersey, but I think New York and California, they can just be like the medics and the cooks.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to agree to not cook vegan food because we need actual protein to sustain fighting.
Please.
Yeah, I think I'm going to ultimately go with the more states, and I'm picking again with Tennessee and Texas.
Okay.
Which I know what happened at the Alamo. Not a good sign for Texas, but...
But remember the Alamo.
I do remember it, and I just remember, you know, we fought...
They can maybe provide...
I think Texas is going to get biased and just try to go straight for Oklahoma off rip, and it's going to just throw off the plan.
Well, that's actually...
Or...
I mean, they could just decimate Oklahoma quickly.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they just take out Oklahoma and Louisiana, then we've really, like, worked our way into Alabama. We're just going to go down that coastline is what might happen.
Okay, then Tennessee goes down to Alabama, too.
Yeah.
Kentucky holds down the Appalachians while Tennessee goes into Alabama.
Us, Arkansas, Mississippi, like Texas, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee just kind of swarming Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. Like I feel like that's would be a pretty easy territory to overtake. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not a battle captain.
Who would you fight for, Cam?
Yeah, Georgia or Tennessee? Wow, good question. The Civil War Part Two. Who you going with?
The Civil War, but it's alphabet related.
Yeah, not red versus blue. This is strictly alphabet. This is the alphabet boys.
I'd probably have to ride for Atlanta down there. I'm not gonna lie. I can't see that city get burned down again.
R.I.P.
I don't want that to happen.
You'd rally for Louisiana, New Orleans.
Maybe I turn when I get down there. I just save Atlanta and I go and burn New Orleans myself. Just be like, oh no, how did this happen?
You got old Benedict Black over here.
But look what happened last time Atlanta got burned. Now it's a lovely city. So maybe if it burns again, it'll come back even
into
better.
Utopia.
Nice to see Cam rallying for New Orleans. Love to see it.
I always knew you had a soft spot for New Orleans.
They're going to be a detriment. They're just going to get flooded instantly.
What happened? Did you just have a couple beignets and you decided, hey, this place ain't too bad?
No, I didn't enjoy myself down there that much.
Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. The end of hour number two is brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, they want to help you get the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's G3HelpMe.com. Once again, G3HelpMe.com. Let's go check in on some training camp updates around the NFL.
Yay.
According to The Athletic's March Cabaly, Mitch Trubisky is struggling in the goal line offense for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, they always say that's just the hardest one to really like get up to speed with.
It's the seven shots drill, as they're calling it. That's the offense and defense facing off from the 2-yard line. Currently, Mitch Trubisky is on a streak of 0-16 in the drill.
Oh, no.
And has connected on just 3 of 20 reps throughout all of camp.
Oh, no.
Trubisky has also struggled in other areas, going 0-4 in interception during a team period Tuesday with back-to-back overthrows. Mason Rudolph said before Tuesday's practice that he expects to get some first-team reps eventually. So that's what's going on right now in Steel City.
No, Mason Rudolph's going to win that job.
Do any of us want to watch Mason Rudolph?
No.
Myles Garrett.
If you're looking for good news, Charlie, Big Ben, out of 31 quarterbacks that got enough reps from 1 or 2 yards out, Big Ben ranked 31st in EPA per attempt, 31st in success rate, 31st in completion rate. He was 3 of 18. 31st in touchdown to interception ratio, and 31st in yards per attempt. So maybe it's just a Steelers issue.
Trubisky's like, he just like me.
But I don't know if that makes you feel better or worse. Like, maybe Matt Canada just like doesn't know what he's doing down there.
Apparently there was also a lot of fights at Steelers practice today.
I've seen a lot of fights just around camp, right? Like, there's Josh Allen was ready to kick somebody's ass the other day.
Apparently there's a pretty nasty one with Michael Pittman at Colts camp today.
Like, I didn't see that one. I saw, like, Josh Allen got mad at somebody. One guy dove at his knees the day before, and then another one, I guess, tried to rock him on the goal line when he ran in, which seems dumb to do to your own quarterback. Saw that A.J. Brown was trying to fight Darius Slay at practice. Michael Pittman got into it with who, Charlie?
You don't know, but just got into it with someone? Name.
Okay.
I didn't save the tweet.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I mean, we got some fighting going on in training camps, which I don't think necessarily matters. I still remember
not a bad thing.
I still remember the time Cam Newton beat the hell out of Josh Norman and they started the season 15-0.
Yeah.
And ended up in the Super Bowl. So, like, it's not always a bad sign when guys are competing.
You're competitive to an extent. You got to just know the line a little bit, as long as it's,
which in that one, I felt a little bit different, which maybe also in the Buffalo Bills one. Like, if your quarterback's bigger than the guy he's trying to fight, maybe it's not as bad. But, like, maybe don't be trying to hit your quarterback. Like, Cam Newton beat the hell out of Josh Norman. I don't know what happened with Josh Allen, but, like, that's your franchise, guys. Maybe don't try to hit him at the goal line.
Did you see what Robert Saleh said about Joe Flacco today?
No. I did see Zach Wilson was, like, 8-for-8, though, in, like, their little scrimmage portion. But no, I did not see.
Joe Flacco is still starting quarterback in this league. He's really, really talented.
Please trade us a 3rd-round pick for him. I mean, what is he supposed to say? Ah, this guy's not very good.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to try to put Joe over and make him feel good while also trying to drive up some value for him. They can confirm that Tim Patrick suffered a torn ACL. I'd imagine he's out for the whole year.
It was Rodney McLeod that Michael Pittman Jr. fought, by the way.
Okay. And also, good news for the Bills, as Jacob Poyer hurt his elbow and is only expected to miss a few weeks.
It was just hyperextended. Oh, wow. Hyperextended elbow, so they lucked out there.
A few weeks of the regular season or a few weeks in practice?
He's supposed to be ready for week one, is what I saw.
Titans get on week two.
Ooh.
Trevor Penning has been kicked out of OTAs.
Who the hell is Trevor Penning?
Oh, really? The lineman?
Armin has been kicked out after starting fights at practices 3 days in a row.
Yeah, there's just been a lot of fighting, which I guess you want those guys on your team because, like, football's a tough sport, but, like, can't be fighting your whole team the whole time. The Titans had that happen, right? I mean, the Titans had two offensive linemen fighting, which I feel like is worse. It's one thing if offense and defense are fighting, but the guy we got from the Seahawks, what was his name, Charlie?
Jamarco Jones.
Yeah, he got kicked out of practice for trying to fight Taylor the One before practice a couple days ago.
Yeah, that's
did you see
different.
That update?
I heard that it was fiery too.
I don't know if we want that. Like, I feel like on the offensive line, you kind of got to be brothers.
You're supposed to be fighting each other. Like,
we're fighting Jeffrey Simmons, which I understand I don't want them fighting Jeffrey Simmons either. But, like, going up against the other side.
Yeah, like, you're supposed to be fighting with each other.
Oh, with each other. As in on teams. I gotcha. Not fighting amongst each other. Like, or with.
Yeah. Like,
I gotcha. Be teammates. Have each other's back. I got what you're saying.
Like, that was always, every day in practice, basically offensive and defensive line fight multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, whenever one person of either unit fights, the rest, it's the golden rule. Like, you have to run in and start fighting.
Right. You got to have your guys back.
Yep.
It's not a good sign if they're fighting before practice against each other.
Yeah.
That especially because that might be like the Titans starting right tackle, right? Or
I think
or he, starting left guard maybe? Or
either him or Aaron Brewer.
Yeah.
I prefer Aaron Brewer, but I really like Jamarco Jones too.
I saw where Simmons put over
he was speaking highly of Aaron Brewer.
Brewer, yeah, sorry. Just speaking highly of Brewer and talking about how, like, you know, he's got heart, which is Simmons' nice way of saying, yeah, I'm still whipping him around, but he's giving it back to him. He's trying.
I think Aaron Brewer has performed admirably when he's filled in. Sure. I would like to see him move to center eventually.
Yeah, I mean, not now, obviously, with Ben Jones.
Like, I'd like to see him be your center after Ben Jones leaves. I'd be okay with that. Or Nate David slides over to center.
It's been a lot of fights at camp. That does get me a little excited when it comes to football.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Getting some updates. Haven't seen too bad of injuries. I'm glad Poyer's not hurt. Not really, but I am glad he's not
Saints
hurt.
Had some people injured.
The Treylon Burks hype too, John.
Yeah.
He's coming in every day.
It is. He's gonna have better numbers than AJ.
One of the Saints rookie safeties, I think, had a significant knee injury.
Sounds so good happy about that, Cam. That's mean. That's bad karma. Remember that.
Are you even really this way, though? Or have you just, like,
no, he's
gone so far into this that it's become
this
who you actually are?
This league has offended my team, so I no longer am getting karma.
That's bad karma.
They've given bad karma to me. They're just getting it back now.
Bad karma.
This is karma resetting.
And I'm going to be honest, Cam, you have the worst quarterback in the league when it comes to bad karma. You don't want your quarterback taking any hits because he's brittle.
Hey, good thing we have two good quarterbacks.
If you have two good quarterbacks, you got zero. And you got zero. You got zero.
We got three good. My bad. We got Felipe Franks, too.
Well, he's transitioning to tight end.
Yeah,
so. He's a QB / tight end.
He's rich man.
Oh, and he's actually playing really well at tight end. It's really funny.
To be QB / tight end works pretty well.
I can't
wait. Just ask Taysom Hill.
I can't wait till the Falcons unleash the Taysom Hill offense against the Saints and do it better.
I know.
Good for Felipe Franks, though. I mean, I guess he realized, like, hey, I'm not a quarterback in this league, but I'm big and athletic, so maybe I can keep getting checks.
We'll know he's made it once he's a personal protector on a punt. Until then, it's wait and see for me.
I think he has been on a punt team.
Hour two in the books, hour three of headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
If you or a loved one has been injured in an automobile accident, you deserve the best. With over 20 years' experience in car and semi-truck accident cases, the Knoxville